Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show is the man who has played more games in a Dallas Mavericks uniform alongside Dirk than any other of his teammates. You know when that man is on the runway. It is the mighty Jet, Jason Terry. Good afternoon, brother.
Good afternoon. I hope all's well.
Man, it's Dirk Day. We're all very, very excited. I know you're going to be down there tonight and to kind of jump in and get this whole thing going. What are your sort of your thoughts and emotions heading into this, what could be possibly last home game for Dirk?
Yeah, it's always an emotional moment when you're talking about somebody's last, right? So that being said, because it's Dirk, because of the relationship he and I had, because of, you know, what he's been able to accomplish in a Mavericks uniform, what he's meant to the city, to the franchise. It's just a special, special day, and rightfully so. I mean, we hope he don't retire, but if this is his last shining moment, then let's send him out with a bang, the way that all the Mav fans love and respect him. Let's send him out, you know, a great Mav send-off.
Yeah, I would love to get your perspective on Dirk at his peak. Just in terms of how nasty he was, because people forget this is a guy that would floor the ball, take it in and dunk on KG. Just your perspective as a fellow NBA badass, when Dirk was in his absolute prime, tell us how nasty he was.
Well, my first encounter with Dirk was my second year in Atlanta. He and I kind of dueled it out, and he finished with 42 or something. I had about 46, and that's when I kind of knew, like, whoa, this dude's special, because he was 7 feet. Back then, he moved a little swifter. he was athletic enough to get by you and dunk on you with ferocious finishes. But his gracefulness behind the arc is what, you know, made me be in awe, because of the way he shot the ball, his precision, his efficiency, and the way he played the game and the way he carried himself. That's why I was drawn to him. And then being able to witness that firsthand as his teammate in 2004-05, my first year, it was just awesome to watch. You know, Dirk wasn't much of a talker when I first met him, but he was always a competitor, whether it be shooting games in practice, whether it was who was going to take the last shot in the game, whether he was matched up against KG or Tim Duncan. I mean, this guy was a fierce competitor, as fierce as they come. But he did it by the way he played and not by his words. And so, you know, that's why I always admired him and the work that he put in.
Talking to Jason Terry here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. You know, we talk a lot about Nelly and, you know, Donnie and those guys discovering Dirk, but you were there during the Avery Johnson years. What kind of an impact did Avery have on Dirk, in your opinion?
Well, I thought Avery had a huge impact on him, because at the time, when Avery came in contact with Dirk, Dirk was much more of a perimeter force. Avery wanted to, you know, kind of revolutionize his game and grow his game by putting him with his back to the basket and allowing him to take advantage of mismatch. Now, traditionally, when you talk about a power forward, he would have his back to the basket and he was on his block. Avery invented this position where he would put him at the free throw line and take advantage of mismatches, where he could see everything coming at him, whether it be a double team, whether it be coming from the wing or from the baseline. He was able to operate in the free throw line area, and this is an area of isolation that we hadn't seen in basketball. We've seen it from the logo isos. We've seen it on the wing. We've seen it from the top of the key. But to put your best player at the free throw line where he can operate the floor and see double teams coming, it just made Dirk that much more effective, and it added a arsenal to his game that we hadn't seen. And he has to give Avery a lot of credit for that.
Talking to one of our all-time favorite Dallas Mavericks, the great Jason the Jet Terry, here on Dirk Day, maybe Dirk's final game at home for the Mavericks, and very sad in that regard. I'm curious about how much trash NBA players would talk to Dirk during games, and You know, obviously Dirk's hilarious. We didn't get to hear a lot of that. You got to hear it being on the court. What was it like with players talking trash to Dirk and Dirk talking back?
It probably was only two guys that I can recall that actually really tried to get up in him and talk trash, and that was Kenyon Martin and Steven Jackson. Now, KG, we know he talks stuff to anybody, but as far as just really trying to rattle Dirk and get him out of his game, I can remember that Denver Nuggets series in the postseason. It was a tough matchup for us. But Dirk individually had a matchup with Kenyon Martin, and Kenyon was pound for pound one of the best defenders we've had in our league in that particular period of time. And so he would get up in them, talk all kind of trash, and all Dirk would do was just hit shot after shot. And the only time I really seen him go back at somebody, and it wasn't even verbally, it was just more like, take it with you. And then he'll wag his tongue out, and then he'll throw up. If it was a three, he'll throw up the European three-point sign. If it was a two, he'd tug on his jersey. And so, you know, again, Dirk didn't do a lot of things verbally, but he was demonstrative if you kind of poked the bear or prodded the bear. So, again, he was more demonstrative more than verbally going back and forth and jabbing at a guy. He would demonstrate his by, like I said, either a tongue wag, the European three, or the jersey pool.
Talking to Jason Terry here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. What is something that you thought about Dirk before you started playing with him that you found out wasn't even close to being true?
Nothing really. I mean, there were no, you know, preconceived notions of how he was or his character or anything before I met him. I mean, only thing he did was reconfirm to me when I was his teammate of how hard of a worker he was. I think there was a preconceived notion, you know, that he wasn't a leader. And again, that was just because kind of how Dirk was raised and how he was brought up. He'd rather show you than tell you, and then he'd rather lead by example. He wasn't a big talker when it came to, you know, the work he was putting in. But as he evolved, as his game evolved, as he started to become the face of the franchise, you know, he was more of a vocal leader. And I think we had to go through some tough times for him to get to that point. And, you know, through failure, sometimes you witness some of your greatest accomplishments. And so I just think as he evolved, as he got around guys like Jason Kidd and Tyson Chandler, he formed into that leader vocally that guys wanted him to become. And so I just think it's part of the development of every great player. You know, some guys come in right away, they lead by example. Other guys lead vocally. But I just think Dirk, for his evolution of his game, he led by example first, and then he developed that vocal leadership. Now kind of what you see him now, more speaking out, you know, leading the young guys, leading a guy like Luka, you know, showing them the way.
Man, I'd love for you to go through the Jet memory vault and pull out for us the best Dirk story you have, or your favorite Dirk story, or something that encapsulates who Dirk Nowitzki is for you. As Skin said, a guy who played more games with him as a Maverick than anyone else in history. Do you have a favorite Dirk story, whether it's on the court, off the court, anything to you that really is special, something, a story that involves Dirk?
Yeah, Dirk has so many sayings that he used to use. And so probably my favorite Dirk quote of all time, and he's probably going to put this on me, but I'm going to throw it right back on him, was when we swept Memphis in 04-05, we swept Memphis. I'm sorry, in 05-06, we swept Memphis in Memphis. And he said, "Jetter, we just ran through them boys like diarrhea." And then what? It was just crazy, man. For him to even come up with that, I don't know where he got that from. And he'll probably say he got it from me, but it was just in that moment for him to just say something like this. This is in the final closing moments of the game. And he's like, "Man, get them bums out of here. We just ran through them boys like diarrhea." And I was like, "Oh, my God."
Man, that is fantastic. You know her well. I don't know that the public knows her that well, but what can you tell us about Dirk's lovely wife, Jessica?
Oh, man, Jessica from day one has been nothing but the biggest supporter in the backbone for Dirk. Because we all know how kind and loving Dirk is and how family-oriented he is. But for her, you know, behind every good man is an even better woman. And so I just think she served as that supporting cast for him. She's always been by his side through the tough times and the good times. And so I know she's a woman that will also, as if this is his last game, she also needs to be celebrated. Because if you don't have a strong woman with you in this profession, by your side, supporting you every single day with the wins or the losses as you come home from those games, then you're pretty much a lost soul. And so I see the smile that she puts on Dirk's face, and I've been around them enough to know that she has a huge part in Dirk's success, especially later on in his career as he's, you know, kind of on the downside going towards the end. She's always still been there, very supportive, and we know how hard that can be, you know, for a wife of a professional athlete.
You know, we've seen these pictures over the years of Dirk arriving to the game with a hot plate, you know, just because he's so careful with his diet, but walking in with food that he prepared, just because even the food that's there, even though it's obviously somewhat healthy, I would think, he just has to be even healthier than that. Do you remember seeing that? Is that common in the NBA for other players to do that? And what are your thoughts on that?
Nah, I mean, it's really about routine and regimen and, you know, the fuel that you're putting in your body. Sometimes guys are just more comfortable preparing their own meals. And I know early on, you know, Dirk was real strict with his diet. I mean, he's always been like that. And probably this is another evolution of him and where he's at in his, you know, in his latter stages of his career. He has to be really cognizant of what he's putting in the fuel that he's putting in his body. So, you know, it's league-wide now. You know, every professional athlete, you know, for longevity, is thinking about what they're putting in their diet. I mean, when I came into the league, I mean, guys were eating cheeseburgers and french fries 30 minutes before tip-off. And so, you know, a lot of those guys aren't around now. So there's a reason why when you talk about the physical health and what you're putting in your body, about the maintenance and then the longevity of a career when it goes to diet.
Well, Jason Terry, we're sitting here asking you a lot of questions about Dirk and how much we love Dirk. You need to know how much we love you, and the whole city loves you. And that incredible adventure you guys took us on also doesn't happen without you. So we appreciate you shedding light on Dirk. And my favorite story that involves you and Dirk is, and I ask you about this every time I see you because it's my favorite story, is the day after you guys win the championship, I think, when you go in to buy a Bentley or a Rolls convertible or something, and you go in a robe with a cigar, and the legend is that you go and you buy a Rolls or a Bentley in a robe, and I think that's about the greatest thing I've ever heard. Can you confirm or deny that and tell us that story?
Well, long story short, 2 weeks before the championship, I went in and I looked at the price sticker on that Bentley, and it was black on black, and the guy was like, "Well, it's gonna be a couple hundred thousand in a finance, or do you want to pay cash?" And I'm like, "Hey man, listen, we're about to win the NBA finals here in a couple of weeks. I'm gonna get a fat bonus, and I'm coming back in here with that bonus, and I'm paying cash only." In the words of the great Randy Moss, "Cash only." And yes, you are 100% correct. I wore that robe for about 2 weeks after. Same cash. And everywhere I went, I had that robe on. And I walked into the dealership, dropped them 200 cash, and rolled off in my black-on-black Batmobile.
That's a beautiful thing, Jet. All right, man. We know you got to get down to the AAC. Before we let you go, kind of fill us in on what this year has been like for you, because you're getting ready to do the Big Three this summer.
Yeah, this year has been a transition for me, but it's something that I have prepared for. Thank you to the NBA and the NBPA. I joined the Top 100 Coaches program. I also did the Broadcasters U program, which is for all active players that are embarking on their post-playing career. And so I prepared for this moment for a long time, though I did not want it to end this year. I wanted to play, you know, another year, maybe two. But that opportunity was not afforded to me, so I jumped right into the broadcast booth. I've done some stuff with Fox Sports, with the Mavs. I'm doing Players Only with Turner, and I'm also embarking on my coaching career. So, you know, the sky's the limit for the Jet. I'm going to keep going. I'm a basketball lifer. I'll be around this game forever, and hopefully one day maybe you'll see me roaming the Mavs sidelines or in the front office. But Dallas is home, so I'm always here, and I'm always going to be around.
Well, we love you, Jet. We always appreciate and value your time, man, and enjoy tonight, brother.
All right, thank you. Special night for Dirk, man. Everybody come out and support the Big 4-1 on his night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.